The healthcare industry is shifting, and it's time to do something different. North Mississippi Health Services is redesigning healthcare, and we want you to be part of it too. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Shane Spies, President and CEO of North Mississippi Health Services, and I'm pleased to be joined by Sandra Davis, our Chief Human Resources Officer for North Mississippi Health Services. So, Sandra, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks to those of you viewing in on the podcast. So, we want to talk about the E in a great redesign strategy at North Mississippi Health Services, and the E represents how we're evolving how work gets done across our healthcare system. But it's more than just how work gets done. It's really all about our teammates. And as we see it, it's about how do we engage our teammates? How do we help teammates manage their well-being and support their well-being? And then ultimately put them in the best position to provide the best patient care to our patients throughout our community. Because we remind ourselves of our mission. You know, we're here to continuously improve the health of the people of our region. And we know in order to do that, our teammates have to be healthy, both in mind, body, and spirit. So that's what evolving how work gets done is really all about. But I think in order to set this up, Sandra, if you could help share some of the labor challenges we've dealt with even before COVID, but really exaggerated by COVID and then coming out of post-COVID, the labor challenges that exist across the entire country.
I think that's a great question and great place to start. And so I think all of us know that there's been some sort of labor shortage or clinical shortage, maybe more specifically nursing shortage, for a very long time. And it's only been exacerbated as we went through COVID, and many nurses or clinicians didn't just decide to maybe leave a healthcare organization. A lot of them decided to just leave healthcare altogether. And so as we've come through the years since then, we are still finding it challenging to find clinicians and others to work in healthcare. And it's really not just the clinicians any longer. It is some of our support services. It's IT. It's places where we wouldn't have necessarily imagined shortages or difficulty, but we're really finding it in some of those very specific areas and support services. And so our challenges are, again, are not just focused in that clinical area, but really across our entire workforce.
Yeah, and you think about, of course, we're around it every single day working in and around hospitals in particular, and we realize it is a tough job to work in a hospital, right? But yet, so many of us do it because we're connected to the purpose. We all have a personal reason for getting involved in healthcare and working in healthcare. But because of the sheer numbers of people getting into healthcare, looking for jobs in healthcare, that's declined over the years, which, as you said, has exacerbated the labor challenges. So as we think about as an organization, how do we build that pipeline of future workers in healthcare, whether they be clinical staff or in support roles throughout the organization? In the spirit of redesign, how have we redesigned our approach to building the pipeline of future workers?
Yeah, and I love to think about it in redesign, but I also think that there's some really important things that we might need to go back to, right? And so one of the things that comes to my mind is partnerships, right? And how do we focus on our community partnerships, our institutional partnerships that can help us build those pipelines? So if we think about how do we get individuals focused in high school who are maybe already in those healthcare pathways to become interested and be connected to us. And we have a number of ways that we're doing that through internships and volunteers already. And then we have to also maybe look outside of our current area, and we're exploring more scholarships, more loan forgiveness, and then actually even delving into the international markets to figure out how do we bring those very qualified individuals to fill those pipelines. And we know that some of those are more short-term, and then there are some of those tactics that are more long-term, but we have to be focused on how do we keep that pipeline full consistently so we don't have gaps.
Yeah, because we have to recognize the reality of it is we have a math problem.
Yes.
And math problem, there aren't enough people getting into those those training programs, certification programs, or educational programs to fully fill the pipeline that's out there. So appreciate your efforts in increasing the pipeline and working through some redesign partnerships with some area partners that we have. So we've had partnerships for a long time with nursing programs, with certification programs and the like. Why is our approach, or how is our approach different now than it was, say, 5 years ago?
I think we're being more specific. And I would say that we've done a couple of programs. For example, in just the nursing, we as an organization hadn't necessarily offered scholarships to students to come and be a part of our organization and then stay with us. We now do that, and we get support from within our organization and through our healthcare foundation. But that's a very specific tactic that we hadn't engaged in before. And so I think it's being open to those kinds of ideas that requires resources, right, from within the organization. So dedicating resources to those. But I would say that's one particular area. And then I think also working with some of our support areas and making sure that we have opportunity to engage maybe new partnerships. So, for example, we haven't really invested or taken time to think about the ITS world, right, our technology world, and where are those partnerships and how can we engage in those. So I think that's a new path for us, but that is an area where we definitely need to have more staff. And more partnerships and more connections with those kinds of individuals.
And you made a point earlier that's fascinating in terms of effort to get connected with people who would become future healthcare workers, say at the high school level or even the junior high school level, of connecting them to healthcare jobs, because most people think that the main jobs in healthcare are what? Doctors and nurses, right? Mm-hmm. Well, those are a lot of positions in healthcare, but they're also hundreds of other job types that aren't necessarily physicians or nurses to get involved in. So part of it's educating and, again, connecting those individuals with all the different job opportunities that are available in healthcare.
Yeah, and I think what's interesting is that we have to think about healthcare as we're running a business, and every part of that business, whether it's finance or IT or support services, recruitment, you know, education, all of those need individuals. And so I think part of our broadened focus is that, again, focusing on some of those areas that we haven't necessarily looked at before, but still are considered to be maybe hard to recruit or difficult to get folks into those areas. And part of that, maybe we just haven't made the right connections yet or that. So that really will be our focus, is how do we continue to reach out to not only individuals in high school, but are there programs and technology programs? One of the interesting things that I wanted to share is that the labor participation rate is kind of where this math problem is that you've talked about. And in November of last year, there were 11 million openings across all of the U.S. We only had 6 million people to fill that. So it doesn't really matter kind of what job title we're talking about. That math problem exists.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely
does.
That you
talked about.
Yeah. And so there's some pretty cool I refer to them as cool because I think they're innovative in terms of like the apprenticeship program that we've developed in conjunction with some area training programs. Just talk a little bit about that and how that's different than in the past. We had nurses that would do an internship or an externship. How's that different?
Well, I think it's innovative in that we've created another resource and focus on partnerships, right? So who in the area can help bring all of the individuals together? And so our apprenticeship program is really different in that we have students who are in clinicals and in school at ICC, and they're coming here to not only do clinicals here, but now they're working for us, and we're doing a lot of their orientation. And through that apprentice, they are allowed to function, right, up to their level of competency. So we have that opportunity to really grow them, like as we want them, teach them the way that NMHS does it, but more importantly, keeps them connected to us, right? An opportunity to also supplement their financial situation, right? Because they can get paid for these hours. And that's a really important part, right? How do we support that whole person all the way from when they're working and getting connected to us all the way through their employee experience with us?
Well, then human resources has also evolved how it recruits. Yes. and also how we orient and onboard new jobs or new people into jobs within the healthcare system. Talk a little bit about that, because I think it's important in terms of how we respond to the market and how we find talent and how we place talent in the organization.
Yeah, so I would say that within HR, this is one area of true redesign for us, and that is our talent acquisition. And you can kind of think of it as, you know, placing an order for something and then getting a response. And what we are finding is that that's really not how we're going to be effective going forward. We have to be more proactive in our recruitment. So our recruitment team has totally revamped how they approach candidates, how we're working with candidates, and it's now very much a personalized journey for that candidate. And the way we even get them connected to candidates is very different. Most of our strategies are digital, and so we use things like social media, we use geofencing to really focus on certain areas of where we want to recruit from, and then develop that relationship. So that when that candidate makes a decision to connect with us, they're immediately connected to a recruiter and that relationship starts. Several years ago, it really wasn't about relationships, but now it's about that. So it's not really order taking and filling slots anymore. It's creating relationships with individuals who will then fill out an application and become part of our organization.
And in many cases, we're going through that process in just a matter of a few days, right?
Yes.
You know, from locating the talent to actually the talent being on the ground working with us, which is
a major change. And I think that is part of it. We know that, I say every soul is precious, right? Every person that we come in contact with, we want to figure out a place when they're the right fit for our organization, to find them a place within our organization. So we have to move with speed, and we have to develop that relationship along the way, but we need to get back to them. Our managers get back to them on a timely basis, and we get an offer in front of them, because we know that they could be entertaining another offer, you know, somewhere else, and we want that talent in our organization.
Yeah, awesome. So we've talked about the pipeline of future healthcare workers, right, and professionals. Let's talk about our current team and how we support our current teammates across the healthcare system. Because, as I mentioned earlier, recognize that many jobs within healthcare, and particularly in hospitals, are tough jobs, right? They're very demanding. You're on your feet a lot. You have a lot of tasks, a lot of things to manage yourself. And we've recognized that these labor challenges have impacted those at the bedside, right?
Yes.
Whether that's having to take care of more patients, or it's just having to do more than what you might see your typical role being. So we tried to support our teammates through a variety of efforts. And one of those, in terms of evolving how work is done, is how do we help them remove hassle factors from their job? And hassle factors being those things that get in your way as an employee, get in your way from doing your best in your job, or things that you do that you really don't see how it benefits the patient or the organization. So just talk about that just a few minutes.
Yeah, I really think that that grassroots conversation we started around eliminating hassle factors is really the place where we've had to start, because it really isn't about us telling somebody how they can do their job better, but they need to tell us, their leader or a leadership, about what is creating that hassle factor for them. But what we know along around that as well is that not only does it make their job easier, but when we think about the whole person well-being, their interaction with their mental well-being, their family life outside of it, all gets positively impacted when we can do those kinds of things, when we can help them remove their hassle factors. And we know that when that whole life or that whole well-being is in focus, their willingness to stay with us, become engaged, and then ultimately impact patient experience, right? And other outcomes, safety and quality follows from that. So it really is taking the little things like hassle factors and helping them make their job easier, but it impacts their entire life.
Now, we have, as part of the Evolve How Work Gets Done and focusing on building and maintaining a strong quality workforce within our healthcare system, one of the things we've done over the past year is invest in resources and approach to paying attention and supporting our teammates' needs for well-being. And it's not a flavor of the month. It's not an initiative. It is a culture-shaping type resource and support to give them? Just briefly touch on how we've approached well-being.
I think this is one of the pieces that I am most excited about over the last couple of years as we've really talked about whole person well-being, and that is addressing, again, the whole person. And part of that work has really been focused around removing household factors, but also mental well-being and the opportunity to talk about that in a very open manner and to have it led from our most senior leader, that it is an important part of our organization. And so we've done a couple of things around that. One of those is to engage with an organization who has evidence-based practice around mental well-being. And so we've deployed some of those tactics. And then we've also done some things which I think are important to make employees' lives easier, our teammates' lives easier. One of those most recently was PayActive, which gives access to earned wages, because we know that there are lots of opportunities to provide support to our employees. That would be one of them, you know, if we have somebody who needs that access. And we have had really good uptake of that in utilization, but it's a part to talk about that whole person well-being, right? Take away a hassle factor that might have been something that was in their personal life or their life outside of work to help them be more comfortable.
That's great. And then when we think about jobs within healthcare and specifically in our healthcare system, we've had a number of employees that have spent their entire careers in our system. And in fact, when we hire someone into our system, we hope that they will be with us for the rest of their career. But as part of that, there are opportunities for individuals to not only take a job in the healthcare system, but to advance throughout our healthcare system. And a number of that's been developed through intentional tracks or pathways, if you will. So share a few examples of how we've done that.
Yeah, and I would say that this has really focused from a clinical ladder type conversation where we had opportunities for clinicians to grow professionally within their discipline and moved it into some of our other areas like patient access and other places where we can show a pathway to somebody who's interested in staying with us, and that's what we want them to do, to either take them on a leadership journey or just a growth within their own development. And we, over the last several years, have implemented a number of those ladders or advanced programs to give individuals and teammates the opportunity to see a clear path for growth and advancement. Because quite honestly, I believe this is the best place to work, right? And we want people to spend their entire career with us. And so we've worked hard to show them pathways.
Well, we've mentioned engagement, and we've gotten serious about engagement with our teammates across the system. You mentioned a couple of examples, like engaging them in SaaS redesign efforts to address some of the hassle factors they may encounter in their jobs. As we think about engagement, we've begun measuring engagement on an annual basis and acting on the feedback we receive from the engagement surveys. What's the level of importance of that and how we support our teammates, and then also as we think about the future of the workforce within our healthcare system?
Well, I think a high-quality workforce is an engaged workforce, right? And vice versa. An engaged workforce is high quality. And so I think it was really important for us to begin measuring engagement, and not just measuring it, but doing something about it, right? Celebrating where we were doing well and taking the opportunities. And I think one of the most important pieces that we learned from our last engagement survey was that 80% of our team trusted their manager. And that means that we have great engagement with our leadership, with their one-up leader, and that showed through the engagement survey. And that's a very powerful place to start when we have to think about change or bringing on Epic or the things that we're doing. And I also think it's important to take a look at those opportunities. And I would say that one of the most important things is for our teammates to see when we're taking action around those. And so we look at that and we ask our leaders to engage in those conversations and to engage in action planning and to share the successes that they're doing, so that we can, as a senior leadership team, also know where we need to take action and have those conversations. Because we know that when we do that, it makes a difference. We've seen it change in our scores.
Absolutely. And a couple of things that we learned from the most recent engagement survey, our teammates are interested in hearing more about strategy, mm-hmm. as well as getting more and more communication about how things work within our system, how decisions are made. And that's one of the reasons we've developed a Great Redesign Strategy podcast as a format to assist with that communication flow, not only to share more information, but information specific to our strategy as an organization. So hopefully the viewers and our teammates will appreciate this approach. Yes. Anything else, Sandra, on the team that you'd like to discuss?
Well, I just think that we have an amazing group of 7,000 plus employees. And I think that we hear success stories all day as we look out into that. And I think it's important to acknowledge the tenured staff we have and the contributions, and how do we help them continue to feel valued and share all the knowledge that they have with the new teams that are coming in, right? In every discipline we have, that transfer of knowledge is really important. And so I think that's a very important effort that we're working on in terms of helping our tenured staff find more and flexible ways to stay with us.
So Sandra, one of the points I like to make with our new employees during new employee orientation is that we hope that they spend a career with us, whether that's they're at the beginning of their career, or they joined us mid-career, or they may be on the, you know, the final years of their career. We're glad they chose us, and we want them to spend the rest of their career with us. And, you know, I've been here for 10 years now, and so I've seen a lot of the various ways that we support our teammates, regardless of stage of career they're in. Can you just elaborate on kind of how we support a teammate, whether they are at the beginning of their career, or middle of it, or at the end?
Yeah, so I think we could start with that early career and bringing them into the organization, supporting them in their growth, their professional growth, whatever that looks like for them, whether it be the career ladders that we talked about or moving into leadership. We have those opportunities and pathways. As somebody moves maybe into their mid-career, continuing to think about how do they grow? Maybe they want to look at a different pathway within our organization. We have those opportunities. And as we're taking that journey with them, the opportunity to support them even after they would leave our organization through retirement, we have those services available. So, you know, we want to make sure that we can intersect all of those places in their life and their career, including retirement services where they can plan for their retirement. We don't want them to retire early. We want them to stay with us. But those are services that we provide to help that whole life cycle as they stay with us during their career.
That's great. So as I think about the human resources strategy, or roadmap, we call it, that roadmap addresses every aspect of that employee's career with us in those different phases and how we ensure we support them to be successful along that journey, as you called it. So I'm excited that we're wrapping up the Evolving How Work Gets Done. That's as part of a Great Redesign Strategy. And I can't overemphasize the importance of Evolve How Work Gets Done, because it's all about our teammates. And we realize a Great Redesign Strategy is nothing without a successful E, or Evolve How Work Gets Done, and a focus on our teammates. So thank you for our teammates and the job you do every single day for our patients and our communities. So, Sandra, thank you for being with us today. And thank you to the viewing audience. We would appreciate your feedback on today's segment. There will be a link to a survey that's attached to the podcast show notes. We'd appreciate you taking a few minutes to provide us with your feedback. So thank you for joining us.